Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Brangelina fever gets its own Darwinian gesso story. Darwinists love gesso stories. Why are cheetahs fast? Because long ago when cheetahs were evolving into the modern speedsters they are today, natural selection preferred the slightly faster cheetahs to the slower ones. Thanks to the fast cats being able to catch more prey and impress the lady cats. Why are turtles slow? Well, maybe being fast was a waste of energy for them, and at some point, turtle evolution wandered down an evolutionary alley, committed to a defensive strategy that, etc., etc., etc. Well, why are chimps clever? Because being clever gave their ancestors a survival advantage over their stupider cousins. Got a dim-witted species? No problem for Darwinism. Those animals didn't need cleverness, you see, in their ecological niche. Bigger brains would have just been a waste of calories in their case. Any attribute that makes a creature faster, smarter, stronger, stealthier, sturdier, more efficient, or perhaps the opposite of one of these characteristics, there's probably a Darwinian gesso story waiting in the wings that includes an animal hero, usually some poor duffer getting squeezed out in the competition for food or safety or conjugal warmth, and as often as not, some damsel in either heat or distress who needs a hero. What about all those crazy animal features and animal behaviors that we see on the nature shows, features and behaviors so impractical that natural selection would never vote them on to the next round of Mother Nature's great big unmerciful game of Jeopardy? Enter Darwin's theory of sexual selection, natural selection's winsome, whimsical, and wondrous assistant. Sexual selection is where, say, peahens prefer the peacocks with the bigger tail feathers, never mind how impractical those enormous tails might be for running and flying. Thanks to sexual selection and countless generations, presto, we now have peacocks that have evolved these whimsically enormous peacock tails. Together, natural selection and sexual selection can whip up a gesso story for any biological marvel you want to throw at them. Inner movie star couple Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. Why do so many of us follow the Brangelina soap opera? According to Angela Chin of The Verge, it's because of evolution. She quotes Daniel Kruger, a psychologist at the University of Michigan, who helpfully explains that, quote, our brains adapted long ago to be deeply interested in the beautiful and famous among us. Chin then summarizes a Duke University study where they showed four monkeys a series of pictures of other monkeys that they knew. Quote, each time they looked at a picture, they received a certain amount of cherry juice. They got more juice for looking at pictures of lower status monkeys and less juice for pictures of the alpha monkeys. The monkeys loved the juice and yet were willing to sacrifice it for a glimpse at the alphas. They were transfixed by their power. Chin then explains why. In prehistoric times, our ancestors lived in societies of around 200 people, and it was important to know what everyone was up to. You had to know who you could trust, who was strong, and who could teach you how to be like them. All this could help you get ahead. Chin goes on to explain that we keep tabs on the rich and famous, quote, because they might reveal the secrets to success. On some level, our brains really do believe that stars are just like us and that lessons from millionaires can improve our own sad lives. That's Chin's take. Evolutionary psychologist Frank McAndrew agrees. He says, people who didn't care what people were up to just didn't do very well. We're the descendants of the ones who gossiped, so we're programmed to pay attention to people who are socially important. But if McAndrew is right, what about that brilliant mathematician or inventor or artist who is too busy discovering, inventing, or creating things to bother with gossip over the latest Brangelina dust-up? Why did he evolve? Well, he's descended from, what, the Stone Age dummies at the edge of the camp playing Dungeons and Dragons? Let's circle back to the monkey experiment, showing that monkeys preferred to look at alpha monkeys. The Wall Street Journal story on this experiment quotes Paul Glimcher, associate professor of neuroscience and psychology at New York University. Quote, all primates living in complex societies have evolved this drive to study what's around them. People are willing to pay money to look at pictures of high-ranking human primates. When you fork out $3 for a celebrity gossip magazine, you're doing exactly what the monkeys are doing. Wow, Dr. Glimcher, isn't evolution grand? Probably explains our love of bananas, too. Oh, but you say, well, what about the banana-hating people in our midst? Well, they, of course, are descended from a now-extinct subspecies of banana-hating monkeys. I kid. The point is that Darwinian gesso stories are so flexible that they can explain almost any zoological phenomena and its opposite. Darwinism is like a party balloon, highly flexible and mostly empty. The other problem, except in some cases of microevolutionary adaptation, all of these Darwinian gesso stories explain things hardly any better than a Rudyard Kipling tale about how the leopard got his spots or how the camel got his hump. A final point to keep in mind. Notice that all the truly creative action in these Darwinian stories occurs in the long train of genetic mutations that everyone agrees are needed to gradually construct, say, the oh-so-helpful pair of wings or the way-cool set of gills or claws or fingers. That long train of mutations generally rolls along offstage, out of the spotlight and far away from the paparazzi. That, I submit to you, is bad show business and bad science.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute, 2016. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org or idthefuture.com.